All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of O365A. In this episode, we're going to be talking about guidance for support for remote workers. So given, you know, that the world is dealing with the COVID-19, there's a lot of companies out there that are, you know, asking that their employees or telling their employees to work remotely. So we wanted to give a little bit of, from a guidance perspective, what that, you know, what that means and, you know, how to help your end users, you know, just deal in with some of the things to be able to work from home. So obviously from the first part, you know, there are some companies that are not utilizing Microsoft Teams, or any type of collaboration software. So Microsoft is committed to helping customers during this COVID-19 issue. So they're providing a 6-month license for E1 for an E1 plan for all of the customers that sign up net new. So again, they'll be able to utilize any of the E1 functionality, which provides obviously mailboxes and scheduling meetings and so on, and utilize Teams just like you know, we would normally use on regular plans. Also, if organizations are, or they're educational type organizations, they also are providing A1 plans for that period of time as well. So there's a free Office 365 available to educational institutions. Actually, I shouldn't say 6 months. There's just a free educational one there. And then also, if you are using the freemium version already today, I guess beginning a couple of days ago, March 10th, Microsoft is rolling out some updated enhancements to the free version to lift some of the restrictions that they have, but they haven't specifically stated what those restrictions are. But, you know, one of the questions was, you know, am I going to be able to schedule meetings in the freemium version? Currently not today, but you can, you know, pull up one of the Meet Now or impromptu voice and video calls. So I think that's hopefully that'll be a possibility in the future to be able to do that. So we just wanted to share a little bit around, you know, what, you know, companies like Microsoft are doing to be able to help organizations support the remote users. So I'm going to pass it off to Michael to give us a little bit more of the remote worker tips, since that he's been working from home for quite a significant amount of time.
Yeah, I'll talk about kind of the home office etiquette and maybe the environment. But before I jump into that, I believe also with the education, Microsoft's offering a limited time free upgrade to the A5s during that period. But yeah, so the home office, I think, is a big item to tackle when you're working from home. You know, have a dedicated workspace, you know, don't work off the kitchen table. You know, you won't have the greatest experience with that. And so if you can have that dedicated workspace, make sure it's free from distractions. So, you know, don't have a TV next to your computer. You'll be watching the news or whatever else is on that versus working. Also, you know, planning out, you know, where you are compared to the other noises in your house. So if you're, you know, if your kids are in the toy room above your office, you know, you might have to think about some soundproofing, but not only just dampening the sound from outside the room in, but also the sound acoustics, right? So if you're in a pretty empty room in the basement and it's, you know, the audio might be bouncing off the walls. So, you know, hanging things on the walls, maybe getting sound paneling could help that, but also just putting some furniture in the room and kind of reducing that experience or that sound acoustic issue. Some other items is lighting, having proper lighting. So I have some desktop lights here so that if, you know, the light from the room window is not enough, depending on the time of day, you might have to bring in some more light if you're doing video. And then just muting some of the distractions. So, you know, I have a landline in my office, but it's the ringer is turned off. So it just has the light on it. So if I do get the, you know, one call a month or whatever, you know, it doesn't distract those people on my, I just need to have with his landline. Yeah. So just muting the ringer. So you can look over, see the light if you have to answer it, but then it's not distracting when you're on a call. Another one I, you know, I'm horrible for is, you know, I mute my cell phone. So I don't have all the ringtones and stuff like that happening when I'm on calls, but sometimes I'll forget that I'll put my phone on the desk. And so it's vibrating near the mic pickups. And so people are getting those noises on the remote side. So you have to be cognizant of those things, of not just what you can experience, but what the other party will see. And some other things, like, you know, if you have a in-room fan, maybe a heater, a space heater, those things might be white noise to you, but very distracting when they're picked up through the, you know, an audio call. And then just even the PC notifications, right? So if you full screen, you know, your Teams online meeting, you know, things like Windows Focus Assist can mute some of the Windows notifications. Also using like My Analytics and Book in Focus Time, and really reducing the amount of distractions, you know, Do Not Disturb. Some of those features you can leverage to stop outside noises from being picked up. Some other items is I have a status light in my room. So, you know, like a busy light type device where, you know, people out in the house will know that I'm on a call. So my status goes red when I'm on a call, or green when they can, you know, come in. And then, you know, the Teams mobile client is definitely an option. So if you're, you know, moving around in the house, the Teams client is full featured on that mobile device. But make sure that, you know, and Kurt will talk about networking, but make sure, you know, you're not on one bar or in a dead zone in the house. And then if you are using the web client instead of the full client, just know that there is some limitations with the web client around, multiple video. And, you know, if you are a remote participant, you know, the web client is great to join in. And maybe I'll throw it over to Kurt to talk about networking.
Thanks, Michael. I'm just laughing because my mobile phone is vibrating on my desk right now. So networking. It's without getting too technical, it's probably like the single biggest technical thing that'll determine whether you have a good remote worker experience. And the reason for that is audio and video. It's what we call real-time traffic, and it's very sensitive to network performance, specifically network latency. So if there's too much latency on the network, you get audio and video jitters and drop packets, which, you know, drops audio, and it's a really just leads to a bad experience. So having a good, solid, reliable network is paramount to having a good experience. So, you know, you could get really technical in terms of network diagnostics and stuff, but just some good simple tips for remote workers is two networking tools I like just to test the network in terms of the speed and the latency. The first one is very simple. It's a little online tool powered by Netflix called Fast, fast.com. So you can just go to that website, fast.com, and hit start, and it does a nice little test from where you are out to the internet, various servers. So it measures the speed right from the device, typically a laptop or desktop, out to those servers, and also measure latency too. And the beauty of that tool, it's really easy. There's like one button, you hit it, and you get a result. So that's a good useful tool people can use. Another one provided by Microsoft is the Office 365 Network Onboarding Tool. And we'll post the URL to this in the blog post for this episode. Now, this is a proof of concept tool. Simple thing is it's just like the Netflix tool. It's just an online tool end users can go to, hit start. And what this does is it provides a guidance and connectivity metrics right from the device out to the nearest Office 365, what's called the front door. So it'll actually pick up the user's location, find the closest front door to Office 365, which is the servers housing the services like Exchange for email and Teams. And it'll do tests to that front door. And it'll give guidance too in terms of performance and availability. And that one is a little more technical, but it gives some really good information. Like I just ran it for myself. It shows the closest Office 365 network entry point, tells me what the speed is. And so that can be really useful again end users just to see what their network experience is going to be like. So if remote workers do have issues, simple guidance to help them through. Number one, Wi-Fi. In many homes, there's Wi-Fi, and you can get dead zones or other Wi-Fi issues. If a remote worker is going to do a lot of remote work from home, a good recommendation there, if they can, is just move to a wired situation. So that would be the device is just wired, hardwired into the router. And in some houses, that can be a problem. There's a couple simple solutions. There's a technology called power over Ethernet, and that's just a little plug that goes into any power outlet and provides an Ethernet jack. And I use that myself here, and I've had really, really good results with it. Also, what's different, you know, for a remote worker at home compared to in the office is there's a few more network hops. You typically have the variable of the network from the device to the router. Then you have the variable of the home network router. And then the other variable is the ISP, so the network connection out to the internet. And each of those legs, something can go wrong, or there could be latency. If things get too crazy, sometimes the best thing is just a simple router reboot. That's very simple. Almost all end users know how to do that, and it's amazing the number of times that just fixes things. From there, there's various tools that end users can use for more technical end users if they're experiencing problems. Sometimes there's firewall issues on the router preventing the real-time traffic from going through. That's going to require a little more router knowledge, but end users are getting more sophisticated now. The routers are getting better. Typically, it all just self-configures, but they can log in and you know, troubleshoot some scenarios there. And the routers do have logs too, and many of them sort of highlight obvious errors. So that's a few tips. Again, maintaining that good network connectivity is really important for having a good experience. And that's a close second, or maybe even first, is making sure the devices you use for audio and video are top notch and rock solid. So Dino, why don't you tell us a little bit about that in terms of guidance?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Kurt. So in terms of your audio and video devices, like, you'll want to use a Teams certified device if at all possible. So we're talking, you know, a certified wired USB headset, for example, starts at about $42. So it's not terribly expensive to get into it. The use of computer mics and audio typically cause poor audio experience. So you don't want to use those because it'll create a bad experience for other people in the meeting. Most built-in webcams on laptops or notebooks will work very well for video. If you have a home office setup like we all have, you might consider using a dedicated webcam which sits on top of your monitor, for example. For a full list of all the devices, you can check out the certified device list at products.office.com, and you can just search up certified Teams devices and you'll see the full list of devices there. In terms of video, if at all possible, I think the suggestion is to turn on your video. You know, studies have shown, and just in terms of people we deal with ourselves, like, video repeatedly shows it increases the collaboration experience. So amongst your coworkers. So, you know, when you're in an audio only meeting, it's easy to tune out and not be paying attention, but video forces you to be a bit more engaged. And I think it definitely helps in terms of engagement levels with your coworkers. So you're seeing them face to face. It's not like you don't feel so isolated. Having said that, I would also like to say that don't force video upon people. There's certain circumstances where it obviously doesn't make sense to use in this time. You know, certainly there's going to be families burdened, you know, with having children at home now. You know, here in Ontario, we're going to be faced with having kids having an extended March break. So, you know, there might be times where video just isn't a possibility for you. you'll want to test your audio and video before you join. And that's actually quite simple in the Teams client. There's a Teams test calling feature that you can execute, and basically it lets you record your voice and then for a few seconds, and then you can, it'll play it back to you. So you'll hear exactly what your audio quality will sound like to everyone else in the meeting. So that's very important, because you might test it and hear, you know, determine that, hey, something's really bad. And then you'll go back to some of the troubleshooting tips that Kurt just talked about, in terms of, you know, maybe you need to reboot your router, or there's something else, or you have to move to a spot that's got better network connectivity. So testing your audio quality, that test call feature will come in very handy. Similarly, you can test your video as well. So there's a under devices video in the Teams client. You can just sort of look at what your video is going to look like, center yourself, make sure that your camera's working and you're appearing in the video. So I find it's best to have the camera just sort of at head level on your monitor, or just slightly above. And then, you know, for those occasions where you need it, you can enable background blur, and I'll just turn it on here. So, you know, if there's something going on, if you have a busy background, there's people walking around, for whatever reason, you might be able to turn that on. So, and, you know, that's it for audio and video guidance. I think we're going to do a bit of a roundtable on our own experiences. So I'll kick that off and then pass it along. But in my home office is just an office space that we've converted on my main floor. I've got a big desk with a credenza, and I happen to be running two monitors with a Logitech. I use the Logitech Brio 4K camera that's sitting on top of my main monitor that's in front of me. And it's really set up at eye level for me. Lighting in here is basically just overhead pot lights that seem to do a good job. The other monitor I have beside me seems to do, depending on if I have a bright white screen, if I need it. Typically during the day, it works fine. In the evenings, it works really well. I'm using an over-the-ear monaural headset by this formerly Poly Plantronics, and this is the Savvy Office. And you can see it just fits over the ear. That's a matter of preference. I like the over-the-ear monaural experience. This one has been updated to be supported on Teams. That's about it. With that, I'll pass it over to Kurt to talk about his setup.
Yeah, good stuff, Dino. I too have worked on and off at home for quite a long time, and I've had some good successes and struggles with some things. I'm sort of in a corner of a basement. It's pretty well isolated and stuff, but I got the two monitors, my laptop hooked up to that. I used to really like the headset for calls, but recently I moved to a Polycom speakerphone, just a small personal device one, and I actually quite like it. It's the audio quality is quite good. It's versatile. It's easy. It always works. So it works well for me. Probably one of the biggest things I've struggled with is lighting. And it's amazing how different video cameras pick up different shades of colors depending on where you are. These guys are laughing because for the longest time, I always appeared too yellow. you know, Dino says you have pot lighting there. The pot lights just didn't work well for me. It seemed to have some really real dark zones. But what I found was having... sort of like a mini fluorescent light, and you can actually change the shades of it, works really well. So that was one thing that helped. The other thing that really helped, I know Habib, you have one of these, was I actually got an arm for my camera. So it's not monitored on my top of my monitors. It's actually just mounted to the desk, and that just enables me to put, you know, the camera on whatever angle works well. So that was a big help. And I tell you that the distraction that Michael mentioned, the landline, it's amazing the number of times that gets me, because we just don't use landlines very much, and it's just sitting over there, and then it rings on a call and it's really distracting. So know how to mute that and get that out of the way is a really great tip. Michael, what have your experiences been like?
Yeah, that landline one, because it always seems that the ring is always at full blast, and so you're just scrambling to turn it off. So yeah, now completely off. So my scenario, so I've been working from home for about 8 years. And so what works for me is a dedicated space. So when we got this house, we built out a room that is kind of isolated. It is in the basement, but it has a larger window. So we kind of oversized that window to get as much light in. It is soundproof because I do have three children that are under the age of 7. And, you know, they are quite loud throughout the house. So the soundproofing helps quite a bit there. I do have a motorized standing desk. So, you know, with a couple clicks, it can go up to the defined height. I do have to remember to mute because the motor does get picked up through the microphones and it is quite loud for the external party. So I'm cautious of when I do that. I have a Logitech Brio as well. It's on a camera stand, just a mini stand, so I can set it. And I have it kind of halfway at my monitor level. I didn't like it on top of my monitor, especially because of the motorized desk. So when it was full standing, it was kind of too high. I have a Surface Pro 7 that's connected to like a Dell USB-C dock that has three external monitors. So I have about four monitors. I have my Logitech Brio wired directly into the Surface through USB so that it's not through the dock. And I find some of the issues I was having with videos was because of the dock for video and going through that with the webcam. I have a Trio as my USB speakerphone, so I'm not a fan of headsets, but it's pretty overkill for the space, but it's excellent quality. For headsets, I would use probably around the neck type, and that's what I have kind of my laptop bag when I travel. I do have desktop lights, and you know I have you know some stuff in the room to kind of reduce the noise. Maybe how's your space?
Yeah, I think like for myself, just like you guys, I have an individual space really is dedicated for the office. So we have a fourth bedroom that basically has been converted into the office space. So really nice desk area, you know, covers behind me as well. I too have a motorized stand desk like Michael does as well. I find that, you know, that's really good. You know, every hour or so I stand up for an hour and then I'll sit down for an hour and just get to, you know, get off your feet, get on your feet and stand and sort of get that change up. I have a Lenovo desktop computer. I also have a Surface Pro 7 for which I travel and meetings and stuff. I have four monitors connected to that. I'm using a Poly Eagle Eye camera. From a lighting perspective, I just have like the in-room lighting, which is like right on top of me here, but it doesn't really provide enough. So I actually went and got like one of those ring type of cameras that you can put directly in front. So you get some good lighting. It's some good lighting there. From an audio perspective, like Michael, I have a Polycom Trio USB device that I'm using for that from that perspective. So for me, it's a really good setup. I also have a light outside my door that's connected to my team status so that the rest of the family knows that if I'm on a call or not, then when they can come in the room and stuff like that. So. Yeah, and that's about it for my setup. So I think a lot of really good tips and tricks of, you know, getting your environment set up and things to do. Definitely, you know, if you're working from home, you know, take breaks, you know, go outside, you know, get some fresh air as well. Those, you know, some things you need to do at the same time. Thanks for the great tips and showing your experience of your home offices. And I think we're going to try and capture some pictures of our home offices and I'll post them on the blog site as well. So thanks everyone for listening in and hopefully we'll catch you on our next episode.
Thanks.
See you, everybody.